Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, inviting you to subscribe to our other podcast called The Grave Talks. It's where I sit down and interview individuals who've had extreme paranormal situations happen to them in their lives. Just search The Grave Talks on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to press subscribe and give us some stars to help spread the word that this show exists. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, Mother's Curse. Relationships are important. Trust in a relationship is key. In a relationship sours, most people will simply move on and the contact with a former friend will dissolve and the memories will slowly fade. What happens when one person seeks to teach a former friend a lesson about their behavior through a curse? On today's episode of The Grave Talks, we hear of just that. Two feuding mothers whose sons are good friends. When the mothers decide that they should no longer be in contact, they pull their children's contact away as well. One of the mothers goes as far as putting a demonic hex on the other in retaliation for her actions. The hex not only reaches the mother, but unintentionally the son as well. This is the story of a mother's curse told to us by a man who was once one of the little boys in this story. Tony Ramirez.
Growing up there was actually, I love the way that I grew up there. Now, I wouldn't have chosen it for my children. I moved many years after that. I didn't want them to live the same way that I grew up. But at the same time, I love the culture. I love, you know, everything about it. We grew up, really poor. We didn't have a lot. You know, what we had was our family and our friends and, you know, but, you know, growing up there was great. I mean, I loved the people that, you know, surrounded me, my friends, and I especially my friend and the family that, you know, all of this took place with. I really loved growing up next to them. They were a big part of my life.
Neighborhood friends and all that. I know you had a friend, Juan. Tell me about Juan a little bit.
Yeah, Juan, actually, in the story, I changed his name, his real name, of course, you know, I did it sure. for his sakes. But Juan was great. I mean, you know, he was a couple of years younger than me. He was my next door neighbor. Our houses were really close to one another. They're like four houses, one bedroom houses. They were real close. And, you know, he grew up pretty much the same way I did. And I mean, it was great. He was super energetic and he was fun. And, you know, he was more like a brother, you know, than really like a friend. I mean, we used to play together, you know, we got into fights, you know, arguments over who won, you know, the different, you know, game we were playing or, you know, shoving push matches and stuff. He was a really great friend of mine. He really was. I used to take trips with him and his family to Mexico. I'm Mexican American. So basically, I wasn't born in Mexico. I was born in the United States for my mother and father. My father was actually born in Mexico. My mother was born in Texas. So I was always, Mexican-Americans are, there's always a little debate of over if you're really true Mexican or not. And, you know, there's always that little tiny behind-the-scenes argument, you know, with the Mexican culture. Oh, you're not a real Mexican. You're Mexican-American. So his mom and, they used to call me the little gringo because in my family, we never grew up talking Spanish at all. I learned it actually from his family and what I picked up on the streets. So his mother would always tell me, you know, you're never going to be, you know, you're not going to be my little gringo until you could talk Spanish perfectly. So they actually taught me Spanish. She preferred that I spoke Spanish when I actually visited them or I went on trips. So that was a really good blessing for me to be able to learn Spanish. But I was like another child to them. I went to different parts of Mexico, you know, Tijuana, Ensenada, San Quintín, you know, where they had family members and so forth. And it was a really great childhood in that aspect, you know, of being able to learn the Mexican culture, being a Mexican American, you know, that I was.
Now, you were really close with your friend, but there was some difficulty that came in there between parents and such that kind of hurt that relationship a little bit. What happened there?
Yeah, my mom is a really, she was a very, very hard-headed person. I mean, she was really hard to get along. She would argue with somebody at a snap of a finger. She was just very, very hot-blooded, hot-tempered. And his mother was actually the same way. And every single time, you know, when you get into little fights and arguments and stuff, like, you know, me and him, we're friends, you know, 30, 40 minutes later. I mean, but our parents just used to go at it. I mean, well, our mothers used to go at it. And, I mean, boy, they used to get into some really heated arguments. I mean, I remember the one time in question, you know, they kind of started this whole, happenings. I actually had shoved him down by accident, and he kind of scraped his knee and went home and, of course, told his mother. And, you know, I went home, told my mom, and, you know, he was crying and she was upset. And she goes, you know, your son's older than mine and so forth. And we went back and forth and back and forth. And I mean, they really got into it. They had little small arguments before, but they really got into it. And they just, I mean, they were slamming doors and, you know, kicking doors and, you know, slamming on windows. And I laugh now because I think back at it, you know, my mother yelling there, you know, screaming at the top of her lungs, and, you know, Juan's mother actually doing the same. And I was told never to play with them no more. You know, at that point, you know, don't talk to him. I was hurt. I mean, you know, he was like a brother of mine. And, you know, my family had some difficulties growing up and stuff, you know, with my brother and sister. They were never around. So I was kind of an only child versus, you know, having him there with us and while they were living there. And it was really hurtful to have them fight that way. And they just never got along. And that day was just really bad. And it turned into the rest of my life pretty much the way it is now.
Sure. I know a couple of weeks after that incident, you said that his family had a birthday party for his younger sister. And seeing that happen, and when you have a friend that you can't play with, being a kid looking at something across the way going on that you otherwise would have been totally involved with, that's, you know, that's anxiety provoking, that's saddening, that's heartbreaking. I remember some of that when I was a kid too, looking across the way at the neighbor's house and something had happened and I wasn't allowed to go play, and it was like, why? I want to go play. But you said that was a turning point where something odd began to happen, and it all began with the grandmother staring at your house. Tell me about that.
We had a laundry room in on the back side of the house where I was able to see the little driveway open area where, you know, we had parties and so forth. And the grandmother, I had met the grandmother some years before that in Tijuana, Mexico. They had a little family business that I actually went to on a visit. And that day she was kind of eerie. She was, I can see her out of all the people that are walking around, everybody's, you know, popping balloons, they're having fun, they're, you know, celebrating. And I could just, you know, she stuck out. She was just staring at my house and just with this, just really, really just straight, just look of intensity. She's just staring at my house and, you know, kind of give me, you know, the heebie-jeebies, you know, I could feel my hair stand up when she was staring at the house. And I got this really ugly feeling. And of course, I felt ugly to begin with. Like you said, I couldn't go outside. I couldn't play. I was always invited to the parties. I was always invited, you know, to the family gatherings and stuff. And they had asked, you know, where's the little gringo at? You know, where's Tony at? And the mother had told her, she goes, you know, well, you know, we had a little, you know, disagreement, you know, with the mother. And being the tight-knit family that they were, she actually, she took offense to the argument and to the intensity of the argument, you know, that Juan's mother explained, you know, the slamming of the doors, the kicking of the doors, the slamming of the windows and so forth. So at that point, she had told her, she says, okay, well, you know, this is something that I found out later, that, you know, she said, well, you know, we're gonna punish her. We're gonna teach her a lesson. So Juan's mother was told to prepare a plate of food in her kitchen, and she was told to make it with, you know, by herself, and place the food on the kitchen table, and call the grandmother in. Well, when she called the grandmother in, the two cousins and the grandmother, afterwards finding out that she was a bruja, which is basically a Mexican witch, and she, you know, that's what she studied, and she was going to give my mother a little taste of her own, you know, medicine. So they prayed over the food. They did what they did. When I pray, maybe curse over the food, be a better word. And she was told to give it to my mother, but to not let anybody else, you know, have any food from the plate, and make sure that it was given to her specifically. And that evening, she came over to the house, and when she knocked on the door, I was sitting in the living room, and I was so surprised to see her. And she had this big smile on her face, and, you know, like everything was fine. And she told my mom, she goes, hey, you know, I just want to, you know, kind of apologize, you know, for what happened. And, you know, I brought you this plate of food, you know. And I was like, ooh, you know, wow, food, you know. Mm-hmm. I always loved their food because it was always so fresh. It was, you know, prepared authentically. She goes, no, this is only for your mother. She says, you know, I put chili on it. She knew I didn't like chili. She goes, I put chili on it, so it's just for your mom, you know. I was like, okay. So my mom, she went, and she, you know, she was happy to see that everything was going to be, you know, fine. And, you know, she ate the food, and she, you know, put the plate in the sink. And then, you know, from there on, you know, we went to bed. Later on, as I said in the story, that actual night, you know, being the sneaky little guy that I was, you know, my mom fell right to sleep. I went and I actually ate from that plate. I actually ate some of the beans that were on there, which was the turn of events, was me absorbing or having that part of that curse attached to me, which was the turning point of everything that happened.
Now, what exactly were some of those things that began to occur with both your mom and yourself after consuming that food? What were some of the first things you noticed as time went on?
Well, my mom immediately, so the next day, it was just a different vibe in the house. It really didn't start with me right away. It maybe took, you know, a little bit longer, I would say, if that's the right words for it, to actually start happening to me. But immediately that next day, I can, my mom and my sister, they're kind of, you know, sitting back. And my mom was, you know, she was holding up her T-shirt and showing my my sister her stomach, which later on I found out she was showing her her belly button. And that next morning, her belly button started bleeding. And just out of nowhere, you know, she thought she had maybe cut herself or maybe even scratched herself, you know, in a way to kind of, you know, produce the blood. But every time she showed it to my sister, there was nothing, you know, nothing there. And my sister got to a point where she was like, Mom, stop playing, you know, I know you're trying to trick me. And so forth. And it got to a point where my mother was getting very upset, to where no one else can see this but other than herself. And she's like, look, it just stopped bleeding. You know, look at it. And there's just nothing there. Almost as if she was the only one seeing it.
I hope you enjoyed your 15-minute preview of our new podcast, The Grave Talks. Be sure to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download podcasts to not miss any episode of the show. New episodes every single Monday. Just search for The Grave Talks and then press subscribe. Give us a review while you're at it and some stars that will help us grow in the rankings and let other folks know that the show exists to make an even better show for you. The Grave Talks. Check it out at thegravetalks.com.